This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Over the last few years, almost a dozen cities have turned to the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning to help make their communities more livable. DAP students have worked with city leaders on projects ranging from sidewalk design to reimagining public spaces to boost economic development and tourism. Joining us to discuss the work DAP students are doing to revitalize urban areas, our director of the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Dr. Danilo Palazzo, Cincinnati Center City Development Corporation Executive Vice President Adam Gelter, who's a 2006 DAP graduate, DAP Urban Planning student Madison Landon, and MKSK Urban Designer Sean Hare, who graduated with a Master in Community Planning last April from DAP. And you can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Glad to see everybody this afternoon. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Danilo, can you start off by explaining, we hear the term urban revitalization so often. What exactly does urban revitalization mean? What makes it such an important issue today?
It is an important, not just for urban, but also in the future, also for suburban areas. It means actually to rethink how cities had been organized in the past and how cities would be organized in the future. It means to think about how communities and identities of communities that are there and how new communities can actually fit into this old part of the cities or in suburbs. So
how did this whole effort get started with these cities contacting DAP and asking for advice? How did that take place?
So it starts usually with just a simple conversation, a call from someone or maybe a student or a former student that approached me or one of my faculty. And we start with maybe brief meetings, coffee or something like that. And then we start to figure out what's the scope, the goal of the studio. If the studio has some didactic and pedagogical goals for the students, and then we do a studio or thesis sometimes, workshops. It depends by the kind of activity that we are planning to do.
Mm-hmm. Sean, what kind of benefits are there for the students from being involved in this program?
Sure. Yeah. I would say that the students, at least when I took it on, I was a graduate student. I know the undergrads have a similar experience. But I think a big thing is that oftentimes planning exercises that you can do during your education sometimes seem to lack that sort of real world impact, or even what I think is a bigger unintended outcome is the sort of pushback you get from communities, and not necessarily in a negative way, but to sort of correct your wrongs or help you with a better understanding of places, things like that, that you don't necessarily get when you're just, sitting at a computer, just looking at a map or something like that. The sort of process of interaction with the community gives you a much more true to real life or real practice experience. And I think kind of enhances that what the understanding of what the experience in a profession might be like for students.
So Madison, a lot of real world experience comes out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting to see the context of these places in real life compared to just a textbook. We get to go in and see how it really feels ourselves, talk with residents, people that work there, live there, play there. And it helps shape our decisions and our hypothetical studios. But it's great for networking. It's been great to see what it's like before we actually get out in the real world and see what real projects look like.
And Adam, what are the benefits to the community from being involved in this program?
It's really great for us at 3CDC for a number of reasons. Certainly, the students, when you get a whole class of students, can get a ton of data and information collected in a short period of time about whatever study area that they're doing. And then the other thing they do is, we sort of do at 3CDC the same kind of work, but the students often have much more creative ideas than what we would have, sort of push us to think a little bit more big picture and creatively than we do. And then the last is, as Maddie said, we get to essentially interview the students in a semi-real world context. And we have six former planning students on the development staff at 3CDC, many of which we worked with on these type of projects, saw how they worked, and then hired them on.
What are some of the local projects the students have been involved in?
For the last 2 years at 3CDC, we've worked with the students on both projects and over the Rhine around Findlay Market and north of Liberty Street, and also in the area that the students have been calling Midtown, essentially between Central Parkway and 7th Street in the Central Business District, and focus on various projects in those two areas.
Yeah, Madison, you want to join in on that?
Sure.
Looks like you've had some involvement in this.
I did both what we called the Pleasant Street Studio, which was Pleasant Street between Findlay Market and Washington Park, as well as our Midtown area, which kind of centered around 8th Public Library, Kroger Building, between Liberty and Fountain Square. Both of those were really interesting projects as we kind of had free reign to, like he said, think outside of the box, what could be done with the space that's not being done anywhere around the country. It's been really a very cool experience to get to think creatively like that.
And Sean, I guess this also helps students understand the difference between design and ideas that might look great on paper, but then when you start to actually execute them, and they turn out not to be such a great thing after all.
Right. Yeah. So I think a big part of this is definitely that initial step when you go and meet the community, see the community yourself, that kind of thing, and ideas are swirling, I'm sure, by the professors leading the studio, the community members that are helping us, because they're thinking this is such a great opportunity, and the students themselves. And like Adam mentioned, sometimes they come in with big ideas that sometimes push the boundaries of what normally we might think would be the standard route or something like that. And I think the big takeaway is when you come back the second time to sort of unveil these ideas to communities and kind of see their reactions to these ideas, I think it can be a reality check in a good and bad way sometimes, but I think it's really helpful.
Madison, how involved did you get in researching the areas of town that you did your projects in? How much of a deep dive did you do into their demographics and their history and things like that?
Yeah, that's stuff that we should always be looking at when we start projects. In the case of our Midtown studio this summer, it was an 8-week, very intense course. 2 days a week we had our studio for 9 hours. So we would go down and do just kind of visual data, seeing where people like to hang out, where it's shady at this certain time of day, things like that that you don't really think about when starting a plan. But then moving towards interviews, seeing what people want the space to look like, what they need the space to look like, and taking that back to the drawing board and combining that with our quantitative data, like any census tracts, things like that, to create creative opportunities.
So you felt like you knew your community and your project pretty well by the time you got finished.
Yeah. My favorite part about this Midtown was working with the library, seeing all of the informal programming that happens in that space, that they provide the space and people kind of make it what they need it to be. I think that's a really great resource that we have. And it was exciting to combine that the opportunity that space provides into our plans. I think that made sense.
Again, if you'd like to be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100. And yes, that did make sense. Danilo, I understand too that the DAP students did work with Georgetown, Kentucky.
Correct.
What was involved in that project? What was
so,
that about?
So, well, Sean actually was part of
okay,
that project.
Okay, so Sean can fill
project.
Us in. Okay.
Yeah, so for Georgetown, Kentucky, not sure how the project exactly was initiated. If I remember correctly, I think it was from the Mayor's Institute of City Design. So that was hosted at DAP. So that was another way that they kind of initiated those projects. But the project was great. I mean, we had our whole studio of graduate students and some architecture students as well. And we went down there, had a whole long day talking to stakeholders from various different groups, similar to what Madison was saying, a lot of the demographic and that kind of data analysis and stuff like that. And most of the time, actually, we're broken into different teams focusing on different aspects of a plan. So in the research thing, my group is tasked with looking at things related to historic preservation and buildings and things like that. And as we move forward, I mean, by the end, my group was actually, we kind of traded groups, and my group at the end was actually planning bike lanes. So you get a pretty well-rounded experience by the end of it. So.
Yeah, give me an idea of the scope of the projects, the different types of projects. You mentioned bike lanes. What other kinds of things?
So in the Georgetown project, for example, it was pretty much a downtown-wide plan. So Georgetown is a fairly small city, but the plan was kind of a look at comprehensively throughout the whole downtown Georgetown. So that included everything from the streetscape design to opportunities for new development to enhancing existing parks and streetscapes and things like that too. And even looking at employment centers for the future and that kind of thing as population and employment needs change over time.
So this is about improving livability in the, mm-hmm. in the city. Exactly. So let's see. So Georgetown and also Paris, Kentucky.
Yes, Paris, Kentucky. So the same professor actually had worked on Georgetown, Kentucky this year has worked on Paris, Kentucky. Just a couple of days ago, they did the final presentation in front of the community. It was pretty successful. 100 people was there. We had a good price, as we say. So we are planning to work now with Lincoln Heights on I-75 for in the spring semester. We are going to work with New Richmond and Augusta in Kentucky. So because we haven't worked only in Kentucky and not only in the area of Cincinnati, but also in Kentucky. We have worked in the past with Campbell County for roads. We have worked last year the trail, bike trails around Cincinnati. So we are working on different scale because the studio that the students have to do have different topics and different scales. So Pleasant Street was, for instance, was a very small area between Findlay Market and Washington Park. In 2018, in spring 18, we are going to work on Lincoln Heights for the entire community. So Midtown was a portion of downtown Cincinnati. So we are working on different scale and for different communities, for different stakeholders, and for different reasons and topics and goals.
How much collaboration and cooperation goes into these projects with the communities you're working with?
So it depends by the community. So it depends by the type of community that we are dealing with. So for instance, for the Midtown, we had some interactions with the community, but we had a lot of interaction with the CDC employers and with Adam specifically. So we were very lucky to have Adam and other two or three employees every week that work with the students to just test what they have done in 1 week. So it was a very interesting model for us to get the students reviewed and assessed by professional. And every week we moved a little the needle, depending by the reaction that Adam and his colleagues had.
Yeah, you mentioned I mentioned pushing the boundaries, but then what we try to do is sort of give a reality check, as Sean mentioned, to the students and say, well, this is a cool idea, but have you thought about what it's going to cost or what this impact that you might not be thinking about to the community or some section of the community would be? And so as the students So we try to help them learn even more as they're helping us come up with plans. And it works kind of both ways and really gets to, I think, usually in the two studios we've done, a really good final result.
Yeah. And Danilo, is that the goal of the program? I mean, it's more for a real-life experience with the students than anything else?
Absolutely. I mean, our program has at least two important components. One is the co-op. So every student, Madison, for instance, but also Sean, when he did the MCP, goes and co-op for the MCP for one semester, but the BOP student, Bachelor of Urban Planning, they go for 5 semesters. So Madison actually is co-oping this semester here in mm-hmm. Cincinnati, which means that they work for at least 450 hours in firms, in business, in local government at 3CDC for 5 semesters. So that is an important component of our program. The other part is 6 studios. We have 6 studios in 5 years in the BOP, in the Bachelor of Urban Planning, and we want that most of these studios are real-world studios. So in order to put them in contact with real people, stakeholders, communities, clients in some way. So that gives our students an advantage, because they have 5 semesters under their belt of co-op and 5 studios that are a real studio with real people.
Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Director of the University of Cincinnati's College of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning, Dr. Danilo Palazzo. Cincinnati Center City Development Corporation Executive Vice President Adam Gelter, who's a 2006 DAP graduate. DAP Urban Planning student Madison Landon, and MKSK Urban Designer Sean Hare, who graduated with a Master in Community Planning last April from DAP.